Cold Earth, written by Anne Cleves and read by Kenny Blythe. Chapter 1. The land slipped while Jimmy Perez was standing beside the grave. The dead man's family had come from Fula originally, and they'd carried the coffin on two oars, the way bodies were always brought for burial on that island. The pallbearers were distant relatives whose forebears had moved south to England, but they must have thought the tradition worth reviving. They'd had time to plan the occasion. Magnus had suffered a stroke and had been in hospital for 6 weeks before he died. Perez had visited him every Sunday, sat by his bed and talked about the old times. Not the bad old times, when Magnus had been accused of murder, but the more recent good times, when Ravenswick had included him in all their community events. Magnus had come to love the parties and the dances and the Sunday teas. He'd never responded to Perez's chat in the hospital, and his death had come as no surprise. The coffin was lowered into the grave before the landslide started. Perez looked away from the hole in the ground as the first earth was scattered on the coffin and saw the community of Ravenswick stretching away from him. He could see Hill Head, Magnus's croft, right at the top of the bank next to the converted chapel where Perez lived with his stepdaughter Cassie. Nearer to the coast was the kirk and the manse that had been turned into a private home, much grander than the kirk itself. There were the polytunnels at Gilsitter Farm and a tiny croft house hidden from the road. He didn't know who stayed there now. The school where Cassie was a pupil was further north, not visible from the cemetery, and hidden by the headland was the Ravenswick Hotel and a smart holiday complex of Scandinavian chalets. This was his home, and he couldn't imagine living anywhere else. The view was filtered by the rain. It seemed it had been raining for months. There'd been talk of cancelling Uphelia 2 weeks earlier because of the weather, but the fire festival had never been stopped in peacetime and had gone ahead despite the storm-forced winds and the downpour. Now Perez turned his attention back to the minister's words, but at the same time he was remembering Fran, Cassie's mother, and the love of his life, who was buried here too. The landslide made no noise at first. The hill had been heavily grazed all year. Sheep had tugged at the grass, disturbing the roots, exposing the black peat beneath. Now, after months of deluge, water had seeped under the surface, loosening the earth, and it was as if the whole hillside was starting to move. The contour of the landscape changed, exposing the rock below. But at this point, Perez had turned back to look at the grave where Magnus Tate had just been laid to rest, and he had no warning of what was to come. The rumbling started when the landslide picked up speed and gathered boulders and stones from the field dikes. When it crossed the main road, it missed a car but ploughed into the small croft. Relentless as a river in flood, the mountain of earth moved with a power that flattened the outhouses of the tiny croft house and forced its way through the main building, smashing windows and breaking down the door. Perez heard the noise when it hit the house as a roar and felt it as a vibration under his feet. He turned at the same time as the other mourners. In Shetland, cemeteries are located by water. Before roads were built, bodies were carried to their graves by boat. The Ravenswick graveyard lay on flat land at the bottom of a valley next to the sea, in the shelter of a headland. Now, the steep valley was filling with mud and debris, and the landslide was gathering speed as it rolled towards them. The sound was so thunderous that the mourners had warning of its approach. They paused for a second and then scattered, clambering for higher ground. Perez put his arm round an elderly neighbour and almost carried him to safety. The minister, a middle-aged woman, was helped by one of the younger men. They were just in time. They watched as headstones were tipped over like dominoes and the landslide rolled across the pebble beach beyond and into the water. Fran's headstone was simple and had been carved by a friend of hers, a sculptor. It was engraved with the image of a curlew, her favourite bird. Perez watched the tide of mud sweep it away. Perez recovered his composure very quickly.